How well do you know the holiday that we celebrate this weekend? We'll talk about it next on Principles and Policies. Hello, this is Chuck Michaelis. I'm your host here on Principles and Policies. As we record this, I'm recording it on Friday, May 24th, 2024. And this will be our show for Saturday, May 25th, 2024. And we will be celebrating on Monday. You all should know this. If you're not aware of it, most of you don't have to go to work on Monday. And that's one of the things we want to talk about, the fact that it is a federal holiday on Monday. It's Memorial Day. I want to talk to you about where Memorial Day came from and what the history of it is. As you know, I like history. I talk about it a lot. I read a lot of history. I'm a little behind in my reading these days, but I'm getting ready to catch back up. And Memorial Day is a very interesting holiday. There's something like it celebrated around the world. For instance, Great Britain has something similar. I believe that they celebrate. Other countries have, you know, as I mentioned, have things. In Australia and New Zealand, it's called Anzac Day. If you don't know what Anzac is, Australia and New Zealand, it's their what they were called, the soldiers that came from Australia and New Zealand during World War I and World War II, the Anzacs. Fought for Great Britain. Some people would say they fought for England. It's incorrect. Just like Canada, Canada did not fight for England. Canada fought for Canada as part of the Dominion under the auspices of the king at the time, who had called on his dominions, Australia, New Zealand, Canada. At the time in World War I and II, it would have been India, including, Pakistan, which hadn't separated from, and Bangladesh, which had not separated from India quite yet. Other places around the world, several, Kenya, although they weren't known under those names at the time. All the names have shifted. Uganda, many. South Africa would still have been part of the Dominion. What does the Dominion status mean? It means that those places recognized the King of Great Britain, England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and the Dominion, which would have, I just mentioned the countries, Canada, all these other places, Canada, India, all of them. They were part of the Dominion. They recognized that king as their own king. Queen Elizabeth was recognized as queen of. Now, some countries have broken away from that. For instance, India was for a time a member of the Dominion, but they withdrew from it. I believe Australia is still in the Dominion. I think New Zealand is still in the Dominion. There are places in the Caribbean that are part of the Dominion. Jamaica. Other places. They're independent nations, but they recognize the king, and they will very often send soldiers at the request of the king to, if the kingdom is engaged in a war, the dominions will send soldiers. So, okay. Anzac Day is April 25th, and it is a form it's their form of our Memorial Day. Armistice Day. We used to recognize Armistice Day, and we do, but we changed the name. November 11th, it's Veterans Day. As you well recognize, another day when you don't have to go to work on Monday. But originally, there were other names. Armistice Day, obviously. Remembrance Day in Canada. And the United Kingdom called it Remembrance Day, and other Commonwealth nations, Dominion nations, called it Remembrance Day. Why November 11th? Those of you who are not familiar with history, the First World War ended on November 11th, 1918. an armistice was signed. That does not mean that the full surrender was accepted, but both sides agreed to a ceasefire on November 11th, 1918. They'd been working on that, you know, that didn't just fall out of the sky into their laps. They'd been working on, a surrender or an end to the war, an armistice. The Germans assumed that it was going to be a negotiated settlement, and the Allies assumed that they were going to impose harsh sanctions against Germany, and Germany didn't see it the same way. And not seeing it the same way eventually sprouted into another world war. That's a topic for another day. But we also have Heroes Day, a number of countries, and it's celebrated on a number of dates. There's an International Day of United Nations Peacekeepers. I'm not real interested in going into that. May 29th, of course, it's derivative of Memorial Day. Remember that United Nations Peacekeepers actually serve their countries. They are soldiers of their various countries that serve under a UN flag. If you can tell from my presentation that I'm not a big fan of the UN or quote-unquote peacekeeping efforts. And UN peacekeepers are rarely peacekeepers. They're people that go in and pick a side and intercede in fights that probably end on their own at some point fairly shortly. One place that where the United States was involved was in the Kosovo conflict in the 1990s. And I can still remember Britain was involved in that. Number of NATO nations were involved in that. And there were some atrocities that you could put down in some cases to the United Nations. So I'm not a big fan of the United Nations. The UN would deny that there were any. They were interceded in any kind of a partisan manner. That's just nonsense. They did. That's a fight, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that has been going on since about the 13th century, if not before that. Oh, actually, it does go back further than that, because it has to do with the Turks and conquest of that area by the Turks, some converting to Islam, some fighting strenuously to maintain their Orthodox faith. A lot of those are Orthodox. Some of them are Catholic. There's Catholicism in there. And interestingly enough, there are a number of strong Protestant denominations in what we call today the Balkans. And it's a very complex situation, which we inserted ourselves into and picked a side, which always tends to make the other side not very happy. Gee, I wonder why. So in any case, we'll go back to this. Again, Remembrance Day, November 11th. Canada, United Kingdom, and other Commonwealth nations originally marking the end of World War I, as we mentioned before. In the Netherlands, it's called Remembrance of the Dead, May 4th. So we're back into May. People's Mourning Day in Germany is also... the date appears to bounce around, but it's usually in November. Again, tied to the end of World War I. Yom, I'm probably going to butcher this. So Yom HaZikaron, that is the day before their Independence Day in Israel. It falls around April or May. It has to do with the Jewish calendar, which is, it's a lunar calendar rather than a solar calendar. And what that means is that it's actually short days, so they have to add days in to get the sun to match the moon, because as you're well aware, lunar cycle is 28 days. Most months are 30 or 31 days, except for one on our calendar, of course, that's February. You get the point. It's somewhere in April or May. They celebrate Independence Day. It's the day that they declared independence from the British Mandate, which brought about a war Canada calls it Decoration Day. Again, recognizes veterans of Canada's military. And yeah, Canada doesn't use Decoration Day for much of anything except, I shouldn't say that. That's not true. They do use it. It has been eclipsed essentially by Remembrance Day. But they do use it as we use Memorial Day here in the United States. They use it as a marker for the beginning of summer, just like we use Memorial Day as the marker for the beginning of summer. Everybody, you know, we do what's the boundaries here? Memorial Day to Labor Day. Those are artificial, obviously, but they've become ingrained into our minds, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. South Korea has Memorial Day. It's on June 6th. I've tried to figure out the significance of that date, and I really can't find anything. So there's, for some reason, it's on June 6th. Every Memorial Day type celebration has a reason why it's on that date, generally, as we've explained earlier. Okay, Canada has this Victoria Day, and I said earlier that Decoration Day was their summer marker. It's not. It's Victoria Day. And Victoria Day has sort of taken second place to their earlier, we talked about their Remembrance Day. It basically, Victoria Day is the official marker from summer. I said it wrong. Decoration Day was. No, it's Victoria Day. And remember that, why Victoria Day? What's that have to do with? Well, Queen Victoria. Why is Victoria important to the history of Canada? It's important to the history of Canada because Queen Victoria was queen of Great Britain and the United Kingdom in 1867 when Canada was given its independence. Now, if you recall, Canada was given its independence. It became an independent nation under the Dominion. So they recognized the Queen and continue to recognize whoever is the King or Queen. Currently, the King of Canada is Charles III. For however long he may last in that position, and then it will be William the what number William will this be if he takes William as his reigning name? Remember that kings very often will take a name other than their own. Now Charles kept his name, and I talked about this at another time where I said I wasn't sure Charles was going to keep his name. The name Charles in the English, in the pantheon of English or British kings, does not have a good connotation. Charles I was beheaded, and Charles II was not considered to be a particularly good king. He was beheaded because he was such an incredible tyrant, Charles I, that they had to get rid of him. So, that being said, Victoria Day is important to Canadians because Victoria is important to Canada. Okay, how important are things? You know, one thing I wanted to do, and I will still do that. Britain, you know, has a long history, especially with World War One. You know, their Remembrance Day, November 11th. A lot of things are associated with that. There's a famous poem that came out of Britain during the First World War. It has not directly anything to do with Remembrance Day, but I think it's an important poem. And I'm going to play a recording of this poem, and you've probably heard it, or have at least heard of it. This is this particular poem. The recording is in the public domain, so don't worry about copyright problems. This is in the public domain, so you can find it. It's called In Flanders Fields. So here's a copy of In Flanders Fields.
In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, The larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
This poem was written down by a soldier named John McCrae as he sat looking at the graves of the fallen from the First Battle of Ypres. And now, you may not recognize that name. I'm doing my best to pronounce it with the... It's a town in Belgium, in the French-speaking section, the Walloon. Dutch-French is called Walloon. And the town is Ypres. It was, at the time, was a very famous town. It's spelled Y-P-R-E-S. Do not ask me to explain the intricacies of French pronunciation. I cannot, because I did not take French, and I'm not sure even people who are native French speakers necessarily completely understand the intricacies of French pronunciation. Nonetheless, Y-P-R-E-S, and you can especially be sure that the French don't necessarily understand Walloon or Belgian French. They do understand it, the pronunciations, because as we all know, languages that are, well, there's an old joke about English and from Britain and American English being, Winston Churchill once said, we were two countries divided by a common language. And if you ever go to England, or you can hear differences in the way things are put, and if you ear, you can get tuned to it pretty fast, and you can understand what they're saying, even though the phraseology is very often different. And gosh, we see that in our own country. Sometimes you'll see things that are said in different areas out west, in the south, in the northeast, in the southeast. Different ways of speaking. We all understand one another for the most part, but sometimes a turn of phrase will come in that's just simply confusing. What do you mean by that? I don't understand what you're saying. You just ask and they tell you, and then you, okay, you're, it's the same as our blah blah blah, your phrase. Well, we see that in dialectical speak all around the world. In any case, go back to Ypres. The British were so, who were very active in the Ypres region. John McCrae was a British soldier, very active in the Ypres region. And the British soldiers, they'd come up on the road sign and they ask where they were. And they invariably, as people who speak English do, referred to it as wipers. Y-P-R-E-S, wipers. Well, It's cognitive, for sure. It is the first thing you would think as a non-French speaker. I can remember reading about it before I understood how to say it, reading history, and I'm like, okay, what would this be in French? Ypres, or maybe? Ypres. That song was written... Ypres was a horrific battle. Huge number of casualties. And there were actually three battles of Ypres. This was poem was written after the first. The last one was actually, if I remember right, and yes, I do recall this correctly, it was the third battle of Ypres that was called Passchendaele. Again, another horrible, bloody battle. As a lot of the battles in the First World War were simply horrible. The people would be ground up. There are bodies that will never be found because, for instance, artillery hits would come in and just simply vaporize people. The tactics were so awful. in World War One. It turned into trench warfare fairly quickly, and it became, you know, a defensive war. The lines moved back and forth very slowly, very small amounts. Giant expenditures in hardware, giant expenditures in ammunition, giant expenditures in lives to move a few meters, move the lines a few meters. And if you succeeded in you know, if the Allies succeeded in moving the lines, it would be a tremendous cost, and then you'd have to dig in and trench again. Why? To defend what you'd taken. And sometimes these battles and these lines move back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The Germans seem to have better trenches than the British and the French, and later the Americans. But by the time the Americans came in, the war had simply begun to become more fluid, more movement, partly due to our presence. So the Germans, having expended maximum effort for 4 years, were simply out of ammo, out of men, and out of gas. When I say gas, I don't mean the gas that they released. They were simply exhausted, as were the Allies, but the Allies were less exhausted than the Germans. That's why the war came to an end. And Memorial Day, we celebrate Veterans Day on that day, although it was a sort of a Memorial Day service, although our Memorial Day here is an artifact of what is falsely called the Civil War. It was the war for Southern independence, the war between the states. I know some of you, that's going to make some of you mad, and we can talk about that at another time. But the fact is, the Civil War wasn't won. The Civil War has a definition. That is that it's two factions fighting over control of a central government. The South did not want control of the central government. They wanted to be independent of the civil government in Washington and declared their independence, just as the 13 colonies had declared their independence from Great Britain. So the South viewed it as something other than the North viewed it. Originally, Memorial Day was known as Decoration Day, and then we heard some of the list I gave before. There are other places that call it Decoration Day. I personally am not a big fan of celebrating holidays like the 4th of July, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, those kinds of things on a Monday. They'll put it on the Monday or the Friday. And in fact, we moved that around. It's before 1971. And by the way, one of the we'll get to that. In 1971, that was set by law to be on the last Monday of May, Memorial Day was. And again, that's to make things easy. People don't like having that holiday like on a Wednesday or a Thursday. Why? Because it breaks up the work week. It was not great for businesses. It wasn't great for government. Because again, people are gone. They leave work on Tuesday and don't come back till Thursday if it's on a Wednesday. Some of them don't come back until the following week. They'll take vacation days, you know, that kind of thing. So they made it on a Monday, so they created the 3-day holiday. What it does is it denudes the holiday of its intended purpose, which is to create an atmosphere of remembrance for, that is, our first day as a nation, that we observed. Memorial Day was May 30th, 1868. Now, it was called Decoration Day, as we mentioned earlier. It was proclaimed by John Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic. If you don't know what the Grand Army of the Republic is, I'll give you a quick rundown. It was a group of Civil War veterans, Northern Civil War veterans, hence the name Grand Army of the Republic, to honor Union soldiers who had died in the Civil War. Again, it was observed on May 30th. I'm not exactly sure why that date was picked. Some of these dates, the origins are kind of in obscurity. But in any case, John Logan declared Decoration Day. Now, what does the GAR have to do with a national holiday? Well, they declared it for all the veterans to observe. Had nothing to do with Congress, had nothing to do with the president. This was generally one of those things that became the head of the Grand Army of the Republic declared this day, and it has been observed since 1868, from 1868 until 1970. So 102 years it was celebrated on May 30th. Since 1971, as we mentioned earlier, it's been celebrated on the last Monday of May, and it was done that way by a congressional decree. There are lots of local celebrations, and there were before this. A lot of cities and people have claimed to have done it first. What's interesting about this? Now, again, this was the Northern Veterans group who proclaimed May 30th that has become the official date. However, it appears that originally the idea of decorating graves, decoration days, the idea was from a veteran of a soldier in the Civil War who served the South. He was in the Confederate Army, a woman named Mary Ann Williams, and her idea was not just to decorate Southern graves, because obviously there are a lot of Union war dead buried in the South. Her idea was to decorate the graves of both Union and Confederate veterans, the dead, on this particular day, and decorate them with flowers. We all know that particular tradition. You know, people go out and decorate, especially on Memorial Day, birthdays of people, very often on Veterans Day, if they're a veteran, people will go out and plant a flag or put flowers on a grave. You may put flowers on the grave of your loved ones, parents, grandparents, a child maybe that you've lost, those kinds of things. Now, personally, our family has never done that. And the reason we don't, we have our reasons. It basically has to do with as much as we love them and as much as we honor them, they are no longer in that particular spiritual house. They're not in their bodies anymore. They're with Christ in heaven, God willing, and they are absent from us and present with the Lord. So we're not big grave visitors. I know people who do, who are, and I honor that, who go to have remembrance of their parents or their grandparents or, late spouse or child or whoever. I'm a big fan of a program on YouTube. Now, I have actually visited some of these places myself. For instance, I watched this little thing that comes out semi-regularly on YouTube called Hollywood Graveyard. Well, what's the big deal? It's not just people that are from Hollywood. It's all kinds of celebrities where their grave sites are. I have done this. I've gone to California fairly regularly, and our hotel was very close to some of the more famous burial places. And honestly, you go there, they are absolutely beautiful park lands. I have been to places when you drive around, and it's really just gorgeous. One of the issues is people would leave flowers on the grave, and I can still remember driving through the graveyard and watching the deer eat the flowers that people have left on graves. That does happen. My father is buried not too far from where I live, and we see people putting flowers on graves, and I've also seen deer back in that graveyard because it's sort of rural. And so that does happen. But Decoration Day was the time when you decorated those graves with flowers. And the woman was Mary Ann Williams. Now, the official recognition as a holiday spread among the states originally. New York supposedly was one of the first to do it in 1873. By 1890, every Union state had adopted it. And the World Wars made it into an even bigger deal. Day of Remembrance for all members of the U.S. military who fought and died in service. In 71, when they changed the date when it's celebrated, Congress standardized the holiday as Memorial Day and changed its observance to the last Monday in May. That's the... It wasn't officially Memorial Day, Decoration Day. You know, I played in Flanders Fields. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow. Okay. Have you ever been out in a shopping center or someplace in public on either Memorial Day or Veterans Day, either one, and VFW, very often, I think it's the VFW, give you a paper poppy. And they ask for a donation. I usually give a little donation. It is the VFW, and they call them buddy poppies. It's actually to raise funds for widows of veterans and that kind of thing. It's called the buddy poppy. And why poppies? Because in Flanders Fields, poppies blow. It's a holdover from the end of World War I. And those buddy poppies are an important thing for the VFW, who's, you know, there are disabled vets, there are families of disabled vets, there are all kinds of needs inside the veterans community. And those buddy poppies, when you see them being given out, I would say that you should consider making a donation to the VFW for this program, and the money raised from those buddy poppies goes to those programs. But that's where it comes from. Many of the traditions you may not have known. Now, mostly it's done around Veterans Day, November 11th, but very often I see them out on Memorial Day weekend. There are places that still hold parades and that kind of thing on Memorial Day weekend, sometimes on Saturday, sometimes on Monday. It's essentially a kind of a beautiful program for America's veterans and veterans' families in need. But it all comes from World War I and that whole Memorial Day idea. Now, there are lots and lots of places that claim to be the origin of American Memorial Day. And as we mentioned, the Grand Army of the Republic has a really good claim. And Mary Ann Williams also has a very good claim. The Southern startup. usually you can find documentation on the events that claim to be the startup of the of Memorial Day celebrations. There are all over the country, and it's interesting that the beginnings of it seem to be really Southern. For the Southern, basically the South started it before the end of the war, in Warrenton, Virginia. Soldiers, graves began to be decorated as early as 1861. In Jackson, Mississippi, in 1865, the graves of Confederate and Union soldiers were decorated. Now, that may be a dubious claim. Seems that the actual writing down of the events didn't take place till years later. Does that mean it didn't happen? No, it doesn't necessarily mean it didn't happen. But we all know how stories can grow. In May of 1865, a parade of about 10,000 very recently freed black men and women and probably children, set out to give a proper burial to, Union soldiers who had died, like somewhere 250 or so Union soldiers who had died, were taken out of a mass grave and given a proper burial by these former slaves, and their graves were decorated. Some have called this the first Memorial Day. There doesn't seem to be a link between this and John Logan's 1868. Remember, this is 3 years before John Logan's declaration of Memorial Day. Columbus, Georgia. This is where Marianne Williams was from. She wrote a letter to the press in March of 1866, asking for assistance in establishing an annual holiday to decorate the graves of soldiers throughout the South. That she meant Union and Confederate soldiers buried throughout the South. There were lots of Southern states who reprinted, a lot of newspapers picked up that letter and reprinted it. And it was also reported in the North. April 26th was chosen. So see how close it is. It's like a month away. Who knows why? I'm sure I could get into original literature and find out why that date was chosen. It corresponded, here is what may be. A lot of people think the war was over when Robert E. Lee surrendered, and that was April 9th. Is that correct? Yes, that is correct. April 9th, Robert E. Lee surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant. But guess what? That did not bring the end of the war. The actual end of the war came on April 26th, 1865, and that's when Joseph Johnson surrendered the tattered remains of his army to William T. Sherman. That's probably the origins of that April 26th date. It was observed in Southern cities like Atlanta, Augusta, Macon, Columbus, and elsewhere in Georgia, as well as Montgomery, Alabama, Memphis, Tennessee, Louisville, Kentucky, New Orleans, Louisiana, Jackson, Mississippi, and across the South. In some mostly Virginian cities, other dates in May and June were observed. Logan commented on the observances in a speech to veterans on July 4th, 1866 in Salem. So Logan was taking notice that the South was paying honor to their fallen soldiers, and he wanted to do the same. This is the origins of the modern Memorial Day, is John Logan noticing what was going on in the South, where Southerners were honoring both Confederate dead, at least in Marianne Williams' view, honoring both Confederate and Union dead. Now, it should be noted that Logan's purpose was not in honoring any Southern dead. It was to honor Union dead only. It's a sad testimony to the hard feelings that existed between North and South and would continue to exist and continue to exist to this day. It's getting better, but there are still hard, very hard feelings. That ended 159 years ago. So old habits die hard. Now, Marianne Williams' original call was in Columbus, Mississippi. A group went around in the cemetery, the military cemetery in Columbus, Mississippi, and decorated those graves. It came from a tradition that started before the end of the war, where women would go out and decorate the fallen soldiers' graves. They all had precedents of several of Mississippi, Virginia, South Carolina, Georgia. They were very somber, are Memorial Day celebrations somber and sober? No. It's essentially an excuse to party, which is part of that thing why I don't like the fourth Monday in May thing. I like it on the date. I'm sure all of you, at least a number of you, will say shut up and take what you get. Okay, well we'll do that. I'm not going to agitate for it to change back. But I'm doing this show so people understand that I think it should be a time for reverent honoring of the fallen dead. There were other precedents before John Logan's declaration. Pennsylvania. There was a decoration day in some cities in Pennsylvania as early as 1864. As mentioned earlier, New York made Decoration Day an official state holiday, and all the other northern states followed suit by about 1890. 1873 was when New York declared it. By 1890, the rest had. There wasn't a standard program for the ceremonies, usually sponsored by Women's Relief Corps. It's a women's auxiliary of the Grand Army of the Republic, wives and mothers and, sweethearts and that kind of thing of the Grand Army of the Republic. The Grand Army of the Republic had like 410,000 members, and the Women's Auxiliary was 100,000. So there was a lot of precedence all over the country when this was when John Logan issued his declaration in 1868. 5 years later, New York is doing this, and 17 years later, all the northern states recognize it. there were, they went around to the national cemeteries, which by this time there were 73 of them. And they were all located near major battlefields. And if you recall, that's what Abraham Lincoln, why Abraham Lincoln was in Gettysburg in November of 1863. He was dedicating a national cemetery. Some people have called this a Memorial Day celebration. It really wasn't. This was merely a dedication of a national cemetery. That being said, it's an important date. Obviously, the Gettysburg Address, 47 years ago, that was made in November of 1863 at this dedication. And if you ever visit Gettysburg, and by the way, I would recommend that you visit Gettysburg. I love Gettysburg. I haven't been there for several years. My wife and I did our honeymoon at Gettysburg. Now, while we were at it, we stayed in the area, and we also went to Antietam. Now, personally, if I were you, I prefer the Antietam battlefield. If you want to get a look at what the battlefield probably looked a lot like, Antietam's your place. A lot of the things that were part of the lore of Antietam are still there. A lot of the observational stuff, you can drive around and take now this has been years since we've been there to Antietam, but you can get a map and a recording and drive around and go to some of the map stops and see the sunken lane and all that stuff. I would highly, highly, highly recommend that you do Antietam and Gettysburg, both of which were the result of Southern attempts to invade the North to relieve pressure on areas in the South. Gettysburg was partly to relieve pressure from Ulysses Grant on Vicksburg, Mississippi, which is really the last holdout in the South, holding on to control of the Mississippi River. And ships that wanted to get below or above Vicksburg had to come under the guns of the Southern defenders. And if any of you are not familiar with the Battle of Vicksburg, you should know that it surrendered on purpose on July 4th, 1863. Well, guess what? Gettysburg was July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 1863. So that kind of gives you a wider picture of the what was going on. Okay, so we now have, by 1890, we've got all the northern states had followed suit. Just for fun, here's a dubious little bit of history. On May 26, 1966, President Lyndon B. Johnson designated an official, quote-unquote, birthplace of the holiday of Memorial Day holiday by signing the presidential proclamation naming Waterloo, New York, as the holder of the title of the originator of Memorial Day. This was due to House Resolution 587, and the 89th Congress officially recognized that the Patriots' tradition of observing Memorial Day had begun 100 years prior in Waterloo, New York. Well, since that time, let's just say that that claim has been called into doubt by scholars. Waterloo, New York, I'm sure, had had some kind of a celebration. Were they the first? No, they were not. There are any number of claimants to that title, and Waterloo is most likely not really one of them. there were a lot of commemorations after Lincoln's assassination. Remember, April 14th, 1865. We really should take note of the fact that the Memorial Day, really, as we understand it now, was largely the effort of women. Women took the lead in gaining recognition of their efforts to do decoration of war graves. They took the lead in attempting to get legislation passed to recognize certain days as days when these decorations should take place. Women were pivotal. If it had not been for the efforts of women like Marianne Williams, who knows what Memorial Day, if there would be an official Memorial Day. I assume there would, but I don't know for sure. Nonetheless, who suffers the most generally with the you know, death and war of men, especially in the, at the time of the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, the World War I and World War II, it's women. Women suffer the most. Why? Their husbands go off and die or come back maimed or come back mentally unwell. They have to pick up the slack. So I think we owe a debt of gratitude to these women who worked to make sure that we did not forget the sacrifices of the men who went to war and gave their all, gave all they had to give to protect whatever ideology that they were fighting in favor of. I don't want to use this as a forum so we don't debate the ins and outs of the Southern War for Independence, the so-called Civil War. That's not really what this is about. This is about honoring those who believed in what they believed and were willing to fight and die to protect a specific way of life. Some of it honorable and some of it not so honorable. Part of this goes back as far as the creation of the United States National Cemetery System, which took place in 1865. And again, we noted that one of the first ones was actually in 1863 in Gettysburg. Ceremonies were already becoming more consistent by the 1880s. The GAR came up with a handbook that presented specific procedures, poems, Bible verses, on the day it's, how best to provide an honorable honoring of the war dead. As we mentioned, a lot of this was being done in the South very early. We mentioned that the Northern states had taken on this Decoration Day. There was a Confederate Memorial Day, and it was usually, by 1916, there were 10 states that celebrated it, usually on June 3rd. That was the birthday of Jefferson Davis. And other states chose late April dates or May 10th, which was the commemoration of Davis's capture. But the first official celebration of Confederate Memorial Day occurred in 1874. Now, as we said, unofficial occurrences took place. And of course, this, the 1874 date means when those Southern states essentially recognized it. I don't think it was made official, but most most those 10 southern states. Remember that there were 11 states in the Confederacy. So most of them. The dates all kind of merged together, started merging together in the 1920s, all the various different state celebrations and that kind of thing. It became a neighborhood kind of thing, or a city kind of thing. That's why so many small towns, county seats, that kind of thing, still continue to have Memorial Day parades. It became a place where politicians could go give speeches. what politician doesn't take every opportunity that he can make to go give a speech someplace? By the 1920s, this is starting to consolidate. To show you that it was trying to be a kind of a unifying thing. In 1913 in Washington, D.C., there was a blue-gray reunion. Now, in 1913, it's around the 50th anniversary of, for instance, the Battle of Gettysburg. These men are probably in their late 60s, mid-70s, that kind of thing. Most of them, the ones that have survived. There were parades, reenactments, speeches from a host of dignitaries, including Woodrow Wilson. Remember, he was from Virginia. He was the first Southerner elected to the White House since the war. A lot of people don't understand. Yes, he was from New Jersey. He was living in New Jersey, but he was born in Virginia. There were great speech givers, all this stuff, and this was in 1913. Memorial Day started to be using as early as 1882 rather than Decoration Day, and it gradually became more common than Decoration Day after World War II, but was not declared the official name by federal law until 1967. So it was not officially a federal holiday called that until 1967, just 4 years before they changed it to Fourth Monday. They passed the Uniform Holiday Act in 1968. And the change took place in 1971. To show you that my concern is nothing new, in 1913, one Indiana veteran, remember, this man is probably in his late 50s, or somewhere between late 50s and 70s. This Indiana veteran complained that younger people born since the war had a, quote, tendency to forget the purpose of Memorial Day and make it a day for games, races, and revelry instead of a day of memory and tears. In 1911, the scheduling of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway car race, now known as the Indianapolis 500, was opposed by the increasingly elderly GAR. Because it falls on Memorial Day. In 1923, Indiana rejected holding the race on the holiday, but the American Legion and local officials wanted the big race to continue, so Governor McRae vetoed the bill and the race went on. That's why we continue to have the Indianapolis 500 on Memorial Day weekend. Okay, well, with that, I'm out of time. Remember this when you are celebrating this weekend. Folks, this is a day to remember and honor those who've fallen for their country. So at least take a moment and take some time to remember them and be in prayer for their families and for their descendants and for the things that they did. All right, you know what I think. I want to know what you think. First of all, my email address is vicechairman@principledpolicy.com. That's vicechairman@principledpolicy.com. www.principledpolicy.com. And please join me again next week for another Principles and Policies.